My soul rejoices, my body also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor let your devout one see the pit. You will show me the path to life, abounding joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. Father, thank you for this day. My brothers and sisters that are here to celebrate more life inside you, Lord. The gifts you give in this time of year, may we give to others in joy, in our words, in our gifts, and just to be able to love one another in your holy presence, Lord. Thank you. Gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.
Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, it's a familiar part of your word. And so easy for our minds to already check out. But we know that it's a living word. For your spirit breathes life into your word and into us. And so our hearts are open, our ears are open anew this morning. Would you move freely in our midst, O Lord, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would play along for just a minute, I know you hate when I do this. If you'll close your eyes, I won't call you out if you're not, but if you will, you'll enjoy it more. And with your eyes closed, picture the best you can that very first Christmas when Jesus came to earth. See Mary and Joseph. See the manger. Look around. See, where are they? And who else is there? What sounds surround them? Just take it all in for a minute. And then you can open your eyes. I don't know about you, but I love traditions. I love setting up my Christmas tree the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I love Christmas movies. I love the anticipation of hitting up the snack cake aisle the 1st of December and seeing if the little Debbie Christmas tree cakes have arrived yet. As a child, I loved listening to my grandpa read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 every Christmas morning before we could do anything else. I love receiving cards from friends and from family. I love exchanging baked goods. I love adopting angels on trees. All of those things that go along with the season, those things that make it special. I love those things. And I think I love most of all the story that we celebrate together year after year. This story of a God come to earth. A divine human baby come to show us the way of love. Come to save us. When I was a child, we had this white ceramic nativity set. If you have children, that is a bad idea to get a ceramic nativity set. And I love to play with this nativity set every year. When my mom would set it out from that day on, I remember I would arrange and rearrange the figures in that scene dozens of times every single day. After a little while, the angel only had one wing. I don't know where the other one went. And little Joseph, his poor head kind of sat crooked on his shoulders because his head fell off over and over and over again. And when it fell off the first time, we super glued it back on and it was okay, but it was a little to the side. Then the next year again and again. By the time I was like 10, his head was way over here. But we loved our Joseph. This was ours, and I would just play with those little figures and move them all around, and I'd pick each one up, Mary, and then a shepherd, and then a wise man, and I would regather all of them around the manger. Somehow in my little heart, I don't know how I knew it, but I just knew that that baby belonged in the middle, but everyone else's position was up for grabs. The one thing I didn't ever consider moving or changing was their location. They all belonged in this stable, this barn structure type thing, like this, that came with the set. And as one who really loves good traditions, to be honest, I was a little bit upset when I first learned that maybe that piece of place was what I should have considered replacing all along. For all these years, we've heard this story that Jesus was born in a manger because there was no room where? In the inn. I mean, it says it right there in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. We just read it. And so we have pageants, and we have always this rigid innkeeper, right? He's like this grumpy Motel 6 receptionist, and there's this flashing no vacancy sign, and this man has his arms crossed, and he is not going to budge. No vacancy. And so this weary couple is sent out to a barn somewhere in the back of the property where all the other guests who got there on time, where all their animals are staying. And it's in that hidden, dark place, all alone, with maybe some sheep, maybe some cows around, that Mary gives birth to the Savior of the world. And that's a beautiful telling of the story, no doubt about it. But what if there's more to that story? And what if what we've settled for in our traditions leaves out actually some of the beauty of what really happened that night? Stick with me here for just a little bit, because I know we love the barn. But stick with me for a little bit as we seek to get back some of the wonder of the first Christmas. Some of you have heard this news before. Others, it'll be the first time to rethink the manger. Either way, wherever you are, stay in this place, because it's good to draw just a little bit deeper into the text this morning. That word that is translated in Luke 2, verse 7. And you know me, I don't pull out Greek very often. I just don't. But today I will, just for you. Luke 2, verse 7. The word in is kateluma, K-A-T-A-L-U-M-A, kateluma. And in Greek, that word simply means guest room. There was no Motel 6 in the first century. Guest room. The other place that we find this word in the Gospels is in Luke chapter 22, which if you do the math, that's near the end of the story. And in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is asking his disciples to go into town and ask the owner of a house if his guest room is available. And you know what will happen in that guest room? That's where he and his friends will share that Last Supper together. Kateluma, guest room. Palestinian homes at the time of Jesus, they had this small guest room in them, and it was usually above the larger family room where everybody ate and slept and hung out together. There will be a picture on the screen at any moment. You've got one in your bulletin too if you want to see it close up. Just kind of a drawing of a typical first century Palestinian home. And so there was the family room on the main floor. You might go up a little bit of a ladder into the guest room. And then back to that family room on the main floor, just a step or two down was the typical space where the animals were kept. They didn't have acreage back then. They had a front room. The animals were kept a step or two up, the main living area, maybe a little bit of a ladder up, the guest room. And so with the animals on that step or two down, oftentimes their manger, their feeding box, would be right there in the main family area. That is a typical Palestinian home. And so those who first heard the story of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem to be registered would have most likely understood verse 7 like this. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the guest room. There is no inn in the first century how we understand inn. There was no room for them in the guest room. Now, why is that? Well, that's because the couple likely showed up at a home of some of Joseph's relatives. That's why they go to Bethlehem in the first place, remember? Because Joseph is from Bethlehem. That's where his people are from. And the census is being taken, and you have to go back to your people's hometown. And so you can imagine that Joseph would not be the only person from his family returning to Bethlehem for the national census. Cousins, uncles, second cousins, third cousins, fifth cousins, twice removed, they would have all gathered here in Bethlehem too. And it simply seems that somebody else in this great big family beat Joseph home to Bethlehem. But even still, in ancient Palestinian hospitality, it would be inconceivable to think that a relative would show up at your door and you would send them out into the street saying, sorry, there's just no room for you. Good luck somewhere else. Especially when the person standing at your door is 9 months pregnant. Inconceivable. I mean, even in just the 2 years that I lived among Arabs in the Middle East, I realized the exact same thing. To this day, if anyone comes to the door of a person, of an Arab person, a Palestinian, or any other Arab nationality, if anyone comes to their door, everything stops in that moment. And the family on the receiving end welcomes that person in. It is hospitality, and they do it way better than us. No matter who's at the door, the people in these Arab homes to this day, they just begin to pull up more chairs around the table and they find more mats and throw them on the floor. Everyone just kind of squeezes in and gets a little bit cozier. The room is never too full for somebody else to come in. No one is ever sent away to this day. And you see, not much has changed in 2,000 years. Even if Joseph had never met these specific relatives in Bethlehem, all he had to say when he got to the door that day was, I am Joseph, son of Jacob, son of Mathan, son of Eleazar. I am your people. And the immediate response would have been, you are welcome here. Please come in. That's what families do. That is especially what first century Palestinian families do. And so an early Jewish person would have heard that Joseph showed up at a likely relative's house in Bethlehem. And upon hearing that the guest room was already occupied, he and Mary most likely would have squeezed their way into the main family room instead. Get your minds around that. And since the animals are just one step down, their feeding boxes would have been right there on the main level. That's the manger. I mean, try for just a moment to imagine this. Some of you already checked out because that's not the way you like to hear the story. That's okay. Just try to come back in. It's like 5 more minutes and it might be worth it. Sometimes it's fun to learn new things. Sometimes. Try for just a moment to imagine this. That Jesus, rather than coming to earth in a barn out back with just a couple smelly animals there to see him, instead, more likely, entered the world, stepping right into the full life and chaos of a first century Jewish family. Changes the story in a good way. I mean, you can bet that on that first day, there were all kinds of aunts and great aunts gathered around Mary, all playing the expert in childbirth. When I was pregnant last year, one thing I learned quickly, every woman is an expert in childbirth. And they're all going to tell you how it's going to go down, what to expect, what to do, how to do it right. You can imagine them all around Mary telling her just what to do, just how to do it. All of them, when that baby came out, taking charge, fighting over who's going to handle him, who's doing it right, who's doing it best when he came. You can imagine there were relatives in that room who hadn't talked to each other in years because of some old fight between them that both of them were too proud to resolve. You can imagine when Jesus entered the scene, the black sheep of the family was right there, and somewhere across the room was the favored one. You can imagine there were dirty dishes and kids running around being too rowdy and parents counting to three over and over and over again. 2.5, 2.75. You can imagine when Jesus was born that in that very room there was grief for the relatives who should have been there but who had passed away. And there was worry about those who should have made it by now. You can imagine when Jesus took his first breath, there in that room was that relative who talks way too much about herself. And there was that one who you can't get a word out of, and everyone wonders what she's hiding. You know, in that room, there was that couple who everyone knew was just about to call it quits. And there were those newlyweds, still so much in the honeymoon phase. Chances are, they were there. All of them at the coming of the Lord. Imagine that. There was no room in the private set apart quarters, so Jesus had to be born right into the beauty and the chaos of family life. And isn't that incredible? And if this is so, imagine then the shepherds come rushing in to tell this whole jam-packed household. They could barely even fit in the door. There were so many people there. And they say, "We saw an angel in the field, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a child. He'll be wrapped in bands of cloth, and he'll be lying in a manger.'" And then after he said that, there were tons of angels and they were all singing together, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among whom he favors." We had to come and find him. And look, here he is. Verse 18 says, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told him. It seems that Luke has a few more people in mind than just a bunch of sheep and cattle when he says, all were amazed. All were amazed. The whole crazy household together welcomes this family. The whole crazy household together, they welcome this baby. Together, they hear the testimony of the shepherds that the Lord has come. Their Messiah, their Savior is here. And all are amazed right here in this big, crazy, wild family. Here he is. The Lord is come. You see, in these very first moments of his life here on earth, it actually seems that Jesus was welcomed to earth. That he was welcomed into the beautiful mess that it is down here. From the very get-go, it seems that he was actually welcomed into the chaos and into the hurt and into the love and into the life that we all share together. It was right there that he took his first breath. Not set aside in a guest room with some special sheets and towels provided just for him, a king. Not there. And not way out back, somewhere away from the complexities of human life. But born right smack dab in the middle of it all, he was welcome. And in that welcome, everything about human life as we know it began to change. Our Savior had come. This Christmas, whatever your family gatherings may look like, in those places where there is hurt, and in those places where you have been betrayed by them, in those places where you dreamed that family for you would be more than it is, in those places where you cannot control what they say or how they act, in those places where things get out of hand, in those places where messes are made, and in those places where laughter rolls, where love is shared, and disappointment right there with it. In those places where calm nights snuggling up together to a Christmas movie are followed by chaotic nights where everyone gets grounded and sent to their rooms, Christ is born right there. Christ moves in right there. Christ takes a new breath of life right there. Christ begins his redeeming, saving work right there. In our real family lives, as simple or as complicated, as peaceful or as chaotic, as put together or as falling apart as they may be, Christ is born right there. This week, in all your gatherings, could you take just a second to close your eyes, no matter how noisy it is around you, and could you see Christ coming right there, just as it is? Not how it should be, right there, right here, he comes. And his coming, when we take time to recognize it, still changes absolutely everything about the actual life we are living. Everything right here. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, thank you that you didn't arrive on earth back in some hidden, quiet place, removed from the lives that we know. And thank you that you didn't arrive on earth in a palace somewhere set apart from us because already you were better and holier. Thank you that you more likely arrived right in the middle of a jam-packed house full of weary travelers, distant relatives, a room full of hurt and joy, a room full of beauty and pain. A room full of noise and cooking and laughter and arguing. There you were. There you showed up. And there you began to change everything. And so let it be with us in all those same places. Would you come, O Lord, and change everything? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.